If you had to teach on the most important truth, what would it be about? If you were teaching new Christians about the Christian life, what is the very first and most important topic that you would want them to understand? Christian, what is the very most important thing in your life? The answer to that question is in two words. It's God's love. In my opinion, the simple biblical truth of God's love is by far the most important truth in the Bible, and in fact, in the entire universe. So apart from an introduction to the Christian essentials, this message will be the first message in the revised and expanded version of these discipleship materials. So where should we begin an entire discipleship program for Christians? It's right here, God's love. And so my primary text will be Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. We read there, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. And the primary point of my message is this. The most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all your heart. And you know what will be the best thing about this message today? Everything I will tell you will be actually and absolutely true. I will not be exaggerating or flattering you. You know, a preacher needs to be very careful about using superlatives in his preaching, like always, never, the worst, the best, the most important. There are very, very few things in life that you can truthfully describe like that. God's love is one of them. And that's why my primary point is true. The most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all of your heart. There's nothing more important in Christianity. There's nothing more important in the Bible. Christian, there is nothing more important for you to understand, believe, and experience than God's love. In this message, I want to address the following topics. First, what does it mean to believe in God's love? Second, what is the unique nature of God's love? And finally, what is the power and importance of God's love? And I believe as a result, I will demonstrate my primary point today. The most important thing in your life, Christian, is to believe in God's unstoppable love for you with all of your heart. So our first question is this. What does it mean to believe in God's love? Of course, in one sense, all Christians believe in God's love, don't they? You could not even be a Christian if you did not believe in God's love as demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus Christ and his death for our sins on the cross. All Christians believe in God's love. A lot of non-Christians even believe in God's love. But let me ask you this. If you believe in God's love, then why do you still struggle with feeling worthless and alone, feeling worried or offended, feeling shame or discouragement? The fact of our life is this. We believe in God's love for us, but we are not always experiencing or feeling his love for us. Why is that? Because we do not believe in God's love with our whole heart and mind. Christian, if you believed in God's love with your whole heart, you would never feel worthless or alone. If you believed in God's love with your whole heart, you would not care what other people think of you, ever. If you believed in God's love with your whole heart, you would never be afraid or worry about anything. In fact, if you always believed in God's love for you with your whole heart and mind, you would always feel peace, joy, and happiness. That's just true. Let me briefly demonstrate this from Scripture. Jesus said the greatest commandment is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So notice something here. Jesus implies we can love God with only part of our heart and part of our mind. Do you see that? So why do we often love God with only part of our heart and mind? It's because we believe in God's love with only part of our heart and mind. We can only love God with the parts of our heart that believe in God's love for us. So we need to understand that our hearts are in parts. That explains why we believe in God's love, but we still don't feel it. Part of our mind and heart is fully convinced of God's love for us and believes the truth. But there are other parts of our heart that doubt God's love and believe lies. How do we know that? Because when bad things happen, those deceived parts of our heart make us feel alone, worthless, angry, worried, and discouraged. And when those deceived parts of our heart are controlling us, we are not believing, experiencing, and feeling God's love for us. It's that simple. And in those times, our sinful nature is controlling us instead of God's love and God's Spirit. But when the parts of our heart and mind that believe in God's love are controlling us, then we will experience and feel God's love for us and be controlled by God's love and God's Spirit. I will explain more about that in my next message. All of this is why my primary point in this message, though, is true. The most important thing in your life, Christian, is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all of your heart. And all of this is because of my primary text, in which God himself promises, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. Christian, you will want to memorize that promise from God and meditate it on the whole days of your life. Let us next talk about the unique nature of God's love for his people. In our primary text, God says he loves us three times. He says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Unfailing love translates a common Hebrew word in the Old Testament to describe God's covenant or commitment love. Therefore, we begin to understand the unique nature of God's love for his people. It is unconditional. This is why God says, I have loved my people with an everlasting and unfailing love. When something is unconditional, it has no limits. It cannot be stopped. This is again reflected in my primary point. The most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all of your heart. Likewise, the most common Greek word used in the New Testament to describe God's love is agape. And Greek scholars tell us that agape can be uniquely defined as unconditional and unstoppable love without limits. The unconditional nature of God's love for us is expressed when we read in Romans, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God made his greatest sacrifice for us when we were the most sinful to him. Even though our sinfulness would have been disgusting to him, a holy God, he still loved us at our worst. You'll never be more sinful than you were when you first got saved. At the very beginning of God's love for us, it did not depend on what we were doing, but on what God decided to do. This is because unconditional love does not depend on what the loved person does, but what the loving person decides, okay? What God has decided is that he is going to love his people no matter what they do. This is why he sent his son to die for all of our sins so that he could forgive all of our sins and never stop loving us. The unstoppable nature of God's love for us is eloquently described when we read this powerful passage from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul wrote, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Christian, are you convinced of that? Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing in all creation. can stop God's love for you, Christian. Not your sin, not your mistakes, not your weaknesses, not the rejection, criticism, or hatred of other people. Nobody and nothing can stop God's love for you, ever. One reason we have difficulty grasping God's unstoppable love is that we have constantly experienced the world's limited love. The world and its people do not have the power to love anyone without limits. In the world, when someone stops liking you, they stop loving you. Their love has limits, and it is conditional. Unconditional, unstoppable love only comes from and through God because it's supernatural. The Bible says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes only from God. Humans without God's Spirit in them cannot unconditionally love people. Unconditional and unstoppable love is supernatural and only comes from God and through God living in us. This is why Greek scholars tell us that when the New Testament was written about God's unconditional love, the Christians had to practically invent the word agape. It was never used in Greek literature before that. This is because in the ancient Greek language, there was no word for unconditional love. They didn't know about anything about this. There were words that described romantic love between lovers or love between friends. But notice again, these are all conditional loves. When someone no longer looks lovely to us, romantic love disappears. When friendship love is based, mere friendship love is based on liking each other. And when people do not like each other, they are no longer friends. But God's unconditional and unstoppable love is supernatural. And it only comes from God and through God living in us. The world knows nothing about it. So my first point is that God's love for you is uniquely supernatural, unconditional, never changing and unstoppable. He will always love us no matter what we do. Or as God has promised us in our text today, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. It's that last phrase I want to talk about next. Notice that God has said that with his unfailing love, he has drawn us to himself. Here the Hebrew means to pull something towards you, attract and persuade someone. How has God pulled us to him and drawn us into a relationship with him? Well, he's done more than simply stated or promised his love, hasn't he? God has clearly and repeatedly demonstrated his love for us. First, God, of course, demonstrated his love for all time by sending his only son to die for you on the cross. Christian, if God never did another thing for you in your entire life, if your entire Christian life from this point forward was just hard and painful, you would still have undeniable proof that God loves you because of what he did on the cross. But thankfully, God is constantly proving his love to us. So here's another important thing about God's love for us. It is active now all around us. For example, every single one of the blessings in our life is proof of God's continuing and constant love for us. I hope you recognize that. The Bible tells us whatever is good and perfect in our life is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. Every single one of them. He did not just love us 2,000 years ago on a cross. He loves us now, every day, in all kinds of ways. But we will miss recognizing and enjoying those blessings if we do not intentionally take time to praise and thank God for them. Listen, Christian, this is a very important thing. Praising God for his blessing is one of the most important ways we grow in believing and experiencing God's love. You want to grow in your belief and experience of God's love more, praise him more. Thank him more for the blessings in your life. I will talk more about that in another section of the Christian Essentials about essential Christian habits. It's just vital. There are 150 Psalms And my favorite is Psalm 103. It's because it speaks so clearly about God's love for me. David begins the psalm the same way we should begin every single day of our life. This is how we should begin our God times with God. David writes in the first verse, "Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Christian, if you did that at the beginning of every day, you would believe and experience more of God's love every day. When we are praising God for the good things he does for us, we are remembering and meditating on God's love and even experiencing it as we are praising him. Otherwise, we will forget the good things he does for us, especially when life is hard. Praising God must be a constant habit in our life if we want to believe and experience more of God's love for us. David goes on to describe the unconditional and supernatural nature of God's love. He says, oh my goodness, this is amazing. He, this holy, perfect God, does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, our sin. This is describing one of the greatest blessings in our life. God never treats us as our sins deserve. Do we understand how extraordinary that is? Many billions of people have lived on this earth since its creation, okay? And the vast majority of them will spend an eternity in hell paying for their sins. That's just a fact. Jesus said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who go that way. But the gateway to eternal life is very small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. And the only reason any of us find that road to eternal life is because of the unconditional grace of God operating in our life. This is a hard truth of God's word. That God is going to treat most of humanity exactly as their sins against him deserve. So Christian, be reminded today of how blessed you are to escape the eternal punishment of a holy God that the vast majority of people who have ever lived are going to experience for all of eternity. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Hallelujah. And that is a very special and rare thing. David goes on to say, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. David is saying that God's love for us could not be greater. It is as great as the distance between heaven and earth. God, your Father, could never love you more, Christian. No matter what you do or do not do, please get that through your head. This is what grace is. You are completely and constantly treated with unconditional, constant, never-changing, overpowering love from God, no matter what you do. The Hebrew word here translated as fear is not talking about being afraid or terrified of God. The Hebrew word here can mean to revere or highly respect someone. And that is what Christians should mean when they talk about fearing God. The New Testament describes God's love in this way. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of God's punishment, which a Christian will never experience. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his, God's, perfect love if we're afraid of him. Indeed, we highly revere and respect God, but we are not afraid of him because he is our loving Father who is never angry with us. Never. All of the anger he could ever have for us was completely exhausted on his son when he died for our sins on the cross. All of his anger was expended there. He has no anger left for you. So how does God feel when we sin? David goes on in Psalm 103. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear, highly respect him, revere him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers We're only dust. We're only made of dust. God, our Father, always feels compassion for his children. Always. He does not. How does God feel when we sin? Again, it's compassion, never anger. Because he has already forgiven us. And he knows how weak we are. How does God feel when we are experiencing painful events in our life? Again, compassion. He cares about his children, always. God has promised and demonstrated, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. Which is why my primary point today is the most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all your heart. Why do I say this is the most important thing in your life? This is my next point. The premier importance of God's love is reflected in its superior power. The power of God's love is demonstrated in what we just read in Romans chapter 8. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a lot of power. Verse 38 says this, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Now, the powers of hell certainly include Satan, our greatest enemy. Do you know what Satan's name means? Accuser. Why is Satan called the accuser? Because his only weapon against a Christian is convincing them of lies about themselves. That's his only weapon. You will learn a lot more about that in another course of the Christian Essentials entitled Freedom from Satan's Power. There you will learn that the only weapon the devil has against you is a lie. But believing lies is really powerful. The most powerful lies we believe about ourselves are that we are worthless, alone, shameful, or hopeless. These are lies from our accuser Satan that destroy the quality of our life. What is the only thing powerful enough to defeat Satan's only weapon against us? It's believing in God's love for us. That's it. Nothing else will defeat Satan in your life. In fact, faith in God's love for you is the only weapon you need against all of the schemes and the lies of the devil. Successful spiritual warfare is just that simple. What are the most powerful and destructive sins in our life? Anger, lust, worry, selfishness. What is the only thing powerful enough to overcome these sins? Believing in God's love for you. Worry and anger are the most common sins in your life, Christian. And only trusting in God's love will enable you to overcome your anger and your impatience and your worries and your fears and experience instead God's love, joy, and peace. The power of lust is destroying the lives of Christian men in our world today. Two studies in America revealed that 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view pornography on a regular basis. Pornography is one of the most addictive and destructive drugs in the world. These statistics tell us how little of God's love these men and even pastors are believing and experiencing. Because only believing and experiencing God's love will give a man the power to resist this drug and overcome it. Human selfishness is one of the most powerful and pervasive powers in the world. Like the power of gravity in creation, it pulls everything to itself. Everything the world does is motivated by the power of selfishness. And the only thing more powerful than human selfishness in this world is the power of believing and experiencing God's love for you. I'm going to say something, and you may have a hard time believing it, but it's true. If you believed in God's love for you with every part of your heart and mind, you would never sin again. This is why we will never sin on the new perfect earth that we're going to live on. Because every part of us will be experiencing and believing in God's love for us. What is the worst things about our life in this world? We experience emotional pain. Loved ones die. People criticize, reject, slander, and gossip about us. Few things hurt us more than people hating us. And what about the pain we experience when we hurt people? Have you ever sinned or even just made a mistake that seriously hurt other people? I have. And the guilt and the shame we experience in such things is overwhelming. Life on this earth is filled with pain. This world wants us to feel worthless and scared and alone and empty. And all of these things are the worst and most painful things about our life. So what is the only thing that has the power to transform our emotional pain into unconditional and unstoppable joy, peace, and happiness? Believing and experiencing the unconditional and unstoppable love that God has for us. The Christian life is really hard. You know that God expects us to trust Him when bad things are happening to us. He even expects us to be thankful and have joy when He is allowing painful things in our life. God wants us all to be like Job and worship Him even when He takes everything from us. God expects us to love people who hate us. He expects us to be holy in a very sinful and tempting world. This is how we live a life that pleases and glorifies God. How can we possibly have the power to live like this? The Apostle Paul told us his secret for having the power to persevere in all the challenges of serving and obeying God. He said, "Christ's love compels us." The Greek word here can refer to a powerful passion. What is Paul saying? The power to live for God is the power of His love for us. Only believing in God's supernatural love for us will give us the power to live the supernatural life that God expects of us. Why is this? Because believing and trusting in God's love for us is what engages the power of the Spirit in our life to control us. And again, I'll explain that more in my next message. Believing lies about ourselves quenches God's Spirit in our life. But whenever and only when we are believing and trusting in God's love, will the Holy Spirit who lives in us always actually be controlling us. Believing in God's love is the key to consistently experiencing the power of God's Spirit, which is another ultimate key to living the successful, God-glorifying Christian life. Think about the holiest people you know. There is only one reason they are like that. They are believing and experiencing God's love for them with more of their heart and mind than the rest of us. That's why they're the holiest people we know. Finally, the power of God's love is stated in our primary text. God promises, "I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." Christian, only the most powerful things will last forever and never end or weaken. That is the power of God's love. Believing in the power of God's love is the only thing that will enable us to overcome the power of Satan and sin in our life and the painful experiences of our life. And these are just some of the reasons why my primary point is true. The most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all your heart. There's more I can say about the importance of God's love. God's love is the most important truth revealed in Scripture. What is the gospel or good news of Jesus Christ? That God loves us and sent His only Son to die for our sins and save us from His wrath and punishment. God's love is the center, the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul understood that the most important truth God has revealed to us is His love. The Apostle Paul understood that. Why do I say that? Because of how he wrote Romans and Ephesians. Did you know that the first three chapters of Ephesians have no commands about what God wants us to do? Not a single command in those chapters. The entire beginning of Ephesians is dedicated primarily to explaining God's love for us. Paul does not give us any commands until Ephesians chapter 4. The same is practically true of the first 11 chapters of Romans. The primary theme of chapters 3 through 11 of Romans is explaining God's love for us in the gospel. It is not until Romans chapter 12 that Paul starts writing commands to us. Why did the apostle teach this way? Because he understood, he knew that God's love is the most important truth that has been revealed to us. Paul understood that believing in God's love for us is the only thing that will give us the power to obey God's commands for us. This is something vital for pastors to understand, by the way. Perhaps they have church members that are failing to be obedient to God. What then do many pastors do to help God's people obey him more? They preach to them about the commands of God instead of the love of God. It's tempting to do. By the way, parents do this too. And as a result, they put more pressure on people to obey instead of helping them have more power to obey. There's a difference. And after over 30 years of ministry, my advice to young pastors would be this. For every one sermon you give on what God's people are supposed to do, you should give them another sermon about how God loves them no matter what they do. You can coerce people into obeying with their own willpower through guilt and fear. And a lot of pastors depend on that. But it will be a joyless, exhausting, and eternally worthless obedience to God if you are obeying God for that reason. God is neither pleased nor glorified with the joyless obedience of the Pharisees and our own willpower, Christian. If you want God's people to obey, please, and glorify God more in the power of God's Spirit, then you must do only one thing. Convince them more about God's love. The apostle understood that greater obedience to God's commands comes from greater belief in God's love. Therefore, he not only taught and wrote a lot about God's love, but prayed for this very thing. After three chapters of explaining God's love in Ephesians, Paul described what I believe is the most important prayer that we can pray for ourselves and for others. Just my opinion. This is the most important prayer. It's the most impactful prayer that we can pray for ourselves and others. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Not just believe it, but experience it. Though it is too great to understand fully. Then," oh my goodness, "then, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Wow. I take comfort in Paul admitting that God's love is too great to understand fully. I am doing my best in this message to help us understand God's love, but anyone attempting to teach on God's love will feel inadequate to do so. Why was the apostle teaching them and praying for them to understand God's love for them? Because he knew that the key to living a life that glorifies God was understanding and experiencing the full dimensions and depth of God's love for us. I mean, look at the results Paul was expecting if these Christians did understand and experience God's love more. He said, "Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." I'm not even sure what all that means, but it sounds like everything we need for a happy and holy life on this earth that pleases and glorifies God. Why is God's love the most important truth God has revealed to us? Because God created us so that our greatest spiritual and emotional need is to believe and experience God's love for us. Our greatest physical needs are air, water, and food. Without them, our bodies die. But if a human believes they are not loved and have no hope of being loved, they will want to die. This is because God created us to desperately need love. And we will never outgrow this basic human need. I'm 60 years old, and I need love just as much today as I did when I was 6 years old. And this points to a great tragedy in Christianity. God's people are striving to get what they already have. We strive to feel the love of significance. So we pursue success in academics or occupations, but discover we still struggle with feeling worthless. We strive to feel the love of security, so we strive to earn and save money, but discover that no matter how much money we have, we still struggle with worry. We strive to feel loved and valued, so we pursue relationships with other people, but we discover they cannot meet our needs. I am a very loved man. I have experienced a lot of love in my 35 years of marriage with my wife, Brenda. My friendships with all five of my children and their spouses and all who love the Lord are awesome. My fellow pastors and the people in my church have treated me with a lot of patience and grace and love over the years of my ministry. All 13 of my grandchildren adore their grandpa. Although I have to admit that is not difficult with the little ones. All I have to do is give them cookies. And if I don't give them cookies, they make it very clear they do not love me. So I guess it's not really an unconditional love, is it? But it is God saving all my children and giving me 13 awesome grandchildren that are proofs of how much God loves me. And I thank God for these things almost every single day. And the best thing about our relationships with people is the times that we do experience God's compassion and gracious love through them. But no humans do that consistently and perfectly. I don't. And neither do the people who love me. In fact, those who are the closest to us are often the ones who hurt us the most. So even though I'm a very loved man, it's not enough. Even the best that people can love us is not enough because God created our hearts to need Him. We are looking for love in all the wrong places. We are striving for what God has already given us. God already loves us completely and perfectly like no one else can. If we could just believe and experience God's love with all of our heart, our desperate, God-given, and God-sized need for love would be fully satisfied. Do you know why we crave love so much? Because God also created us with a fundamental desire to be happy. To feel happy is the reason for everything every human does. I will speak more about that in another course of the Christian Essentials entitled Faith in the Father's Love. We crave happiness more than anything else, and love makes us happier than anything else. It does not matter how much money or success or power you have. If nobody loves you, you will still be miserable. Think about the happiest people you know. There's only one reason they are like that. They believe in and have experienced God's love for them. And as I noted earlier, believing and experiencing God's love for you is the only way you can experience the Spirit's joy, peace, and happiness, even in the midst of painful circumstances. Jesus taught us that believing and experiencing God's love is what makes us happy. He told his disciples, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy," feeling happy. Yes, your joy will overflow because I've told you how much I love you. Contrary to popular Christian belief, there is no difference between experiencing the Spirit's joy and feeling human happiness. They both feel the same. The most important thing to fulfill your greatest desire to be happy and joyful is believing and experiencing God's love for you. In fact, what is the best way to know how much you are believing and experiencing God's love? The answer is this: how often during your day do you really feel happy? That's how much of your heart is believing and experiencing God's love. Feeling joy is what will make our eternal life on the perfect new earth so wonderful. We will always be completely happy on that new earth. Why will that be? It will not be because of all the blessings and stuff we will have there. Some of us have a lot of blessings and stuff on this earth, and we still struggle to be happy. No, the one and only reason we will feel completely happy every hour of every day for all of eternity is because every part of our new and purified hearts and minds will constantly and completely believe and experience God's great love for us. Amen? So this leads to an amazing truth. We can experience heaven right now on this earth. When we are believing, enjoying, and experiencing God's perfect and wonderful love for us and giving that kind of love to others on this earth, we will feel some of the same things we would feel if we were in heaven. And God is going to love us on the new eternal earth because he promised, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. And I believe everything I've said in this message proves my primary point. The most important thing in your life is to believe in God's unstoppable love with all your heart. And if that is true, then I will say this. As I close here, perhaps the most important question of your life is this. Will you commit to doing whatever it takes, whatever it requires, to grow in your belief and experience of God's love for you? If so, I believe the Christian Essentials Discipleship courses will help you do that if you are willing to invest the time and effort to complete them. So many of the things I've just barely touched on in this message will be explained, demonstrated, and applied throughout all those materials. This message is the first in a three-part series. It is entitled The Three Essentials of the Christian Essentials. These are God's love, God's spirit, and God's glory. At the very beginning of these discipleship courses, I want to share with you what I believe to be the three most important things in the Christian life. Everything in the Christian Essentials courses relates to one or more of these three truths. This is because the ultimate goal of a Christian is to pursue God's glory. And the two primary things you need to live like that are believing in God's love and experiencing God's spirit. It's that simple. God's love, God's spirit, and God's glory are the three essentials of the Christian Essentials. And as Paul said in a different context, the greatest of these is love, which is why I spoke about it first. My next two messages will be about experiencing God's spirit and pursuing God's glory. My practical application for this message today is a homework assignment. Earlier in the message, I said that praising God is one of the most effective ways we grow in believing and experiencing God's love for us, praising him. So I would ask you to do something even today. Take some time today to think about the five most powerful ways that God has demonstrated his love for you. The things that really make you feel his love. Write them down and start your God times this week by praising him for those things. Amen. Now you can return to your study guide for this foundation course and discuss the questions there.